Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, now proudly in partnership with Scrum Magazine. Get yourself onto scrummagazine.com every day when you need to know all the latest news from Scottish rugby. You can also get their quarterly print magazine online and subscribe. Issue 111, their Autumn International Preview, is now available. Now, onto the pod. What went wrong for Scotland? How many points will we see at Murrayfield this weekend? And is Stafford McDowell 1 foot taller than Nick Gregg? Hello, welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Alan, how was Berlin? Did you find a Scottish bar to watch the game in?
I mean, I found a bar, and I was the only Scotsman in the bar.
What was the theme? What kind of theme was the bar?
Gritty sports bar. A lot of Saffas, actually.
Was it? Yeah, the England game on as well?
Yeah, I mean, the England game. Basically, it was like England, South Africa on 7 screens. It was Everton, Bournemouth, I think, on 3 screens. And it was Scotland, Wales on 1 screen. It was me, my girlfriend, and one Welshman. Just shouting at this TV that was actually next to the pool table. So there was like people playing pool next to it.
I love that. And hello, Matt. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Can't complain.
We watched the game together.
We did.
It was good.
Yeah,
stressful.
It was, you know, you don't expect anything less from watching Scotland. There is particularly that down in Cardiff.
There's that level of stress that you only get watching Scotland.
Yeah,
I find.
Yeah. As I said, I think it's often more enjoyable to just watch a neutral match.
We don't need to trot over that ground again. All right. Thanks a lot for joining us again, guys. If you haven't guessed already, we're going to be talking about Scotland, Wales. We're going to be getting to that in a wee while. Thanks a lot for joining us on iTunes, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And we've got a really full mailbag this week. I think we've had about 12 emails since the Wales game, so we're going to be looking at some of those later on today. But I'm going to start us off. You guys can always get in touch with us on iTunes. Really helps us out if you leave us a review. 5 stars, of course, or else we won't read it out, to be honest, or we'll ignore it. How about this one from Daryl Marfo's Hair? 5 stars. He says, I'm happy I found this pod. I was getting infuriated by the other Scottish rugby podcast. This is much more balanced, and they actually have some in-depth chat. Funny, but not forced. Very happy they've linked up with Scrum Magazine and have some interesting guest interviews. So thank you very much, Daryl Marfo's Hair, for that.
To be fair, Daryl Marfo's Hair is spectacular.
It's absolutely spectacular. So 5 stars to him.
I know. And to be fair, Daryl Marfo seems to be the only professional player in Scotland who's not playing for a professional team or injured at the moment.
What's going on there? What's he done?
Yeah, I know.
What's happened?
He's still rocking about for Bermuda.
I feel quite bad for him.
Yeah, I know. It's nearly a year since he was like the darling of Scottish rugby.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it was. It was the Samoa was his breakthrough game.
Yeah, there was like, this is the journey Darrell's been on. It was like the classic like BBC Sport piece.
Yeah, I know. It's so amazing. Well, maybe he'll come back. Maybe he will rise again.
Yes.
Hopefully one day. Right, so today's agenda, we're going to look at the news. There's not too much to discuss, but a few bits and pieces that we'll pull out. Then Scotland versus Wales. We've got some comments from Scotland's new forward coach, Danny Wilson, who was up in front of the press earlier on today talking about Wales and the new additions to the squad. We're then going to preview Scotland versus Fiji. And actually, let's not forget two pro victories on Friday night with extremely depleted squads.
Bonus points, all right.
Mm.
So
all is not lost.
We will put in the little description when you can skip forward to if you really want that Pro 14 news straight away. We're going to do Scotland first. And in between all that, Alan, there is a quiz. Tell me about that.
The quiz is about who we haven't played and who we might have played.
As always, that sounds amazing. Thank you very much for that. Right, why don't we start with the news? We haven't done one of these for a wee while. Apologies for that. We know you like it. Matt, give us a roundup from the Tennent's Premiership.
Can do. So, Marrows beat Hoik in quite a close match in the rain, 21-10. Heriots put Glasgow Hawks to the sword, 45-21. Watson's backed up their good victory over Ayr last weekend by beating Stirling County 14-8.
Come on, Sonians.
Parmuir, with probably the shock result of the round, beating Curry comfortably 41-17. And Ayr beating Edinburgh Accies, who are still winless at home, 29-3. So that's still Ayr at the top of the table.
Sad to see Curry lose to Parmuir. I think there's quite a few people in Scottish rugby who've been enjoying sort of Curry's success this season.
Yeah, well, I think they've beaten all the other, they're like Edinburgh rivals, the Super Six.
Yeah.
But regardless of that, Barmier have been struggling a bit this season for sort of top form, so Curry would have been favourites going into that for sure.
You seen that young lad, Rufus McLean, sadly playing for the Sony Bums.
Yeah, he looks handy.
He's decent.
He was, I think, he didn't play for Edinburgh in pre-season, but he was one of those like kind of faces that popped up that no one really knew who he was, apart from the real ultras. He looks like a real prospect.
He's also got one of the most professionally edited highlights reels on YouTube.
Does he?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's got drones and everything.
Does it?
Yeah, it's got him kicking at Murky, like with a drone above him. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It's just so needless.
That's what you've got to do to get a contract.
And exactly. And then it's him making like a 70-meter try against like St. Aloysius.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, Format. We'll keep up. That's one whole round of Premiership games now, isn't it?
Yeah, done. 10 in, 8 to go.
10 in. We will keep up with that as we go through. And the men were not the only Scotland side playing an international at the weekend. The women were down in Italy. Sadly, they on the end of a bit of a hiding, actually. 38-0 against an impressive Italian side. Not fantastic for the ladies, Alan?
No, although I did see the SOU were streaming it live on their Facebook page.
Which I think is great.
Which is a good move, because if you're not going to get any money for the rights, which I don't think they would be at the moment with just sort of the level of interest, then you got to try and get as much eyeballs on it as possible.
And the first outing for the newly sponsored SP Energy Networks kit. So they've got their own sponsor now, which is great to see. So 38-0, they are playing against Canada in a couple of weeks'
That's
time.
That's a tough one. Tough fixture.
That is at Scotstoun.
Canada are like top tier in the women's game.
Yeah, Canada.
Maybe just below England, New Zealand.
Yeah.
So yeah, it could be a tough old.
But it's quite a nice day. So against Canada on Tuesday the 27th of November, at Scotstoun. That is going to be it will follow the under-18s and under-15s Schools Cup finals. There you go. That's what it says here.
Fair enough.
At Scotstoun.
Sounds to me like the Schools Cup final has been moved to Scotstoun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's quite good, actually, I think.
Yeah, no.
Move it around, fill up the stadium.
Yeah.
I'm reading an SIU press release right now, so unless I'm getting that wrong,
which,
to be fair, could easily be doing. Another massive bit of news out of the SIU today. The Spice Girls are going to be playing at Murrayfield. Everyone excited about that?
I did see that, apart from Posh.
Apart from Posh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was she your favourite?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. No, she wasn't. I was a massive Ginger fan.
Very good. Matt, who's your favourite Spice Girl?
Scary.
Ginger.
Scary. Ginger. So another opportunity for you know, to go to Murrayfield if it, you so wish.
Interesting fact. Scary Spice had a Halloween costume and it was of Victoria Beckham like holding a sign saying, "I'm not going to tour."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's quite savage.
Yeah, I know.
That is quite savage.
Should we move on from the Spice Girls?
I was going to say, I feel like we have strayed in the news section. Okay, so another significant piece of news today, and this will lead us into our coverage of Scotland versus Wales. It was announced this morning that six people have been added to the Scotland squad. They are Adam Ash, Scott Cummings, Nick Grigg, and young upstart Stuart Hogg are being joined by Josh Strauss and Duncan Weir. Two friends of the pod right at the end there. Those are the six names joining the Scotland squad. And that is because of Blade Thompson's picked up a head injury. James Lang has picked up a rib injury representing their club sides at the weekend. David Denton and Matt Scott continue their recovery from head injuries at their respective clubs. Lads, what do you think of those?
I mean, I'm happy to see Josh Strauss in there, but I don't think he's going to play. So it's sort of a bit of a funny one.
Yeah.
And I think it's a shame that Denton's injured, actually, just because I think, you know, with the Wales match, we struggled in sort of the big physical ball-carrying area. So they're pretty important players for that.
It does feel like it's a big moment getting even Strauss into that squad there.
He's been called in, brought in from the cold.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's been out now over a year since that Fiji game.
He's not really been playing that much for Sale, though, I don't think.
Started in the Premiership Cup this weekend, mate. That
doesn't count.
He did play at the weekend. Scotland's new defence coach, Danny Wilson, was in front of the press at a conference earlier on today, and here's what he had to say about the new call-ups.
A few injuries is the obvious one. We need to bring in, to add to the kind of squad from that point of view first and foremost, and you know, obviously you kept keeping an eye on players playing well for their clubs as well, so based around that really.
Is Stuart Hogg ready to play?
Still a few boxes to tick, a few decisions to make on that, but made really good progress. He's ahead of schedule, so we'll see how he goes.
Right, so Matt, you've already touched on it. You don't think that Josh Strauss is going to make an impact next week. We'll be coming on to talk about Scotland, Fiji, but why don't we look back at the result from the weekend. Scotland going down 21-10 to Wales at the Principality Stadium. Pretty disappointing day out. Guys, give me your top line thoughts.
I didn't think it was a particularly good game. I felt it did. I don't know if it was just because it wasn't a Six Nations game, but I didn't really feel like it had the same intensity and urgency of a Six Nations clash.
Mm.
Although, obviously, the SOU social team had been told to, like, put a message, like, early doors on Twitter to make sure that, like, you know, this is test match intensity. And they put on, they're like, any doubts of the physicality of the test match quickly going out with the window with the tackles that have just gone in.
Yeah, this is definitely a proper test match.
Someone at head office is like, well done, good tweet. Yeah. This is a proper test match. I think with this, it would be interesting to get your thoughts, is I'm not sure what the game plan was going into the match. It felt like the first 20 minutes, they were trying to play a game that potentially the team that they picked wasn't suited to.
How do you mean?
Just they were trying to do a lot in the forwards, and they also just weren't playing that quick.
Yeah.
I think with the size and skills of the players that they had, that is where they had to focus on.
Yeah.
And I just don't know whether they were a bit scared of going that route because of what happened last time in Cardiff.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me, actually. I just think it was that lack of quick ball.
Yeah.
That meant the attack couldn't get going at all and meant that Wales were just in second or third gear the whole time. Like, if you look at the stats, they made so many more tackles and had far less possession, but the Scotland threat wasn't really there at all, so it was just too easy. And then it was just frustrating that, and maybe it's a bit of naivety from Hastings, a bit of impatience, but when things weren't working after, like, even two phases sometimes, he would put boot to ball in a pretty ineffective manner, which is just very frustrating because, you know, if they're not executed well, it's just gifting possession back to Wales. You didn't do very much with it, but you need to have the ball.
Yeah, there was an awful lot of poor kicking. Again, Danny Wilson was questioned about this and his views and the camp's views of the match against Wales. And here's what he had to say this afternoon.
Obviously, it's a game where we probably two tries disallowed and held up over the line once. You're kind of frustrated where we've had the majority of the possession and territory, and stats suggest that. But we obviously, you know, struggle to finish those off, and with two disallowed tries and held up over the line, like I said, it's probably there's the difference. You know, they took their opportunities well, and we perhaps didn't. It's a first hit out for both teams. First time this group's got together. With some new coaches, obviously, and a chance to put some of that on the field against an opposition, and likewise for Wales. You know, I think probably we saw two sides who were pretty rusty getting their first hit out, but a good place to kind of build from.
So now, just picking up, I told you the mailbag was pretty full. How about this one from Robbie Miller, which is going to lead us into a pretty decent talking point, I think, for the rest of our coverage of the Scotland-Wales game. Robbie writes in on the emails, that's thethistlerugby@gmail.com. He writes, after the shambles, which was Scotland's previous trip to Cardiff, I had low expectations going into their game, so wasn't too disappointed with the result. One question for me is that, are Scotland too respectful of the laws in defence? At every ruck, the Welsh were over the ball and getting away with it, and the defensive line was up as a unit so fast that you had to question they were almost certainly offside half of the time. Saracens did the same against Glasgow. The Scotland players seem to be unwilling to push the laws or adapt to the ref in the same way.
I think adapt is sort of the key word.
Yeah.
Because against Nigel Owens, they played the rules perfectly.
Yep.
But maybe that's just because Nigel Owens refs a way that suits Scotland.
Yeah, in the England game last year, you mean?
Yes, in the England game last year. Whereas, especially with someone like, I think, Ronaldo, they've had a couple of times, they don't seem to be able to adapt, especially their defence, to how he likes to,
yeah,
to manage the ruck.
I think he's a really bad ref. I'm just putting it out there. Yeah, man. I think he's genuinely really, really shit. But you'd never really, apart from maybe that England match last year, but it's debated with that, I think you'd never call Scotland team like savvy.
No.
I don't think that there's that like kind of gamesmanship side of things of that I think someone like Warren Gatland brings, or Munster, like we see, you know, from last week.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you develop that, but I think that's a missing part for sure. And yeah, things like the, you know, getting away with cheating and that kind of thing, I just, you know, you never really see Scotland doing that.
Is it interesting, because I think Barkley's the only player that we would consider savvy in the Scotland setup in terms of understands, I hate the phrase, like the dark arts. But
yeah,
even think a lot of your players like Johnny Gray, McAnally, Dell, Wilson, Watson, they're all good like athletes and ball players, but I don't think they're particularly savvy players.
I think Wilson tries it, but more often than not, he just gives away a penalty. It's very frustrating.
So what did you guys make of that Scotland pack as a whole? I think it's pretty clear to say that they were struggling to have that impact, particularly in the first half, of getting over that gain line and setting up a decent platform. And there was, I think it was three penalties given away for not rolling away, and then we're 9-0 down. And then that's setting us back hugely. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was the back row or just the general makeup of that eight that we struggled?
I think overall, like, you struggle to sort of pick out any of the really strong performances in the pack, apart from maybe Hamish Watson, who I think was like,
yeah,
doing as best as he could.
Yeah.
And I think he was sort of like taking over the carrying mantle. I mean, look, I don't want to keep banging on about it, but I'm going to. I think that Ryan Wilson just isn't good enough at that level. He's not big enough and he's not sort of fast enough. So I just think that persisting with him is a limiting factor for Scotland's progression.
Yeah, I mean, we've discussed it a lot. I don't think Jamie Ritchie had his best game or particularly influential game, and actually thought Ben Toulis was pretty average, was definitely outplayed by their opposite men.
You are playing against Wynne Jones, who is like
Corey Hill,
the best second row. It's quality. One of the best second rows in the world.
But I don't even know if it's size per se, because you look at like the New Zealand pack, and whilst you've got people like Kieran Reid and Sam Kane and Broder Talek, and it's not really their size that destroys teams. It's more like, I don't know, intensity and urgency. Yeah. And sometimes at ruck time, there just wasn't that kind of really smashing over the ball.
Yeah.
that you would get, I know, it's extreme example, but someone like Sam Kane or Sean O'Brien, like when they hit a ruck, they go right over
and,
it.
Maybe that was just once again goes back to the nature of the game, that it didn't feel like a full-blooded test match. And you compared it to even England, South Africa, where, you know, they've got most of their players and it was savage at the breakdown.
Yeah.
I know you're playing South Africa, fair enough. But yeah, I think you're right. I think we've definitely got that, like, the dog in terms of the turnover players, like a Barkley or a Watson. But maybe when you've got sort of there isn't that brutality there.
I thought there was a big impact in the forward pack, in particular when the changes were rung off the bench. I thought Gilchrist came on, made a big difference. I thought Fraser Brown came on and made a big difference.
Yeah, Fraser Brown was really strong.
Abrasive.
Well, I kind of think Fraser Brown's the most like that in terms of getting in the mix. getting in the mix isn't the right phrase, but loves that confrontational nature of the game.
Obviously, there was plenty of chances for Scotland to win this game, particularly in that second half. That is when we did have huge amounts of territory and huge amounts of ball. There is the unfortunate Pete Horn drop over the line. But, I mean, there was a number of times when we kicked to the corner, went for the pushover and just didn't quite get it. And we seemed to, I don't know if it's panic, but we went for those very basic one-out hits.
Yeah.
And Wales are such a good defensive unit that we just did not look like we were ever going to break it down.
Yeah, soaked up.
It was Groundhog Day. It was Glasgow Saracens end of first half over again.
Yeah.
There wasn't one part of me that genuinely, and I know Johnny Gray went super, super close, but I really didn't think Scotland were going to score.
No.
Doing one outs or drive or through a driving mole. No, they're not appreciating that McAnally scored.
We did score through one. We did, and I suppose if you've scored through a driving mole just before half time and then you get opportunities to take more in the second half,
I think at the time I didn't necessarily think it was the wrong decision. I was saying I was backing them to put it in the corner after that mole, but it was frustrating. I also think in terms of the attack, like, you know, you do have to take into account the fact that Laidlaw, Russell and Hogg aren't there, who are like three of your decision makers. The three key decision makers probably in that team.
If the ball was slow with Price, though, how slow is it going to be with Laidlaw?
Yeah, possibly.
Start George.
I don't think it was.
George
it wasn't. But it wasn't. I don't think Price himself was being.
No, I don't.
I didn't.
It just wasn't maybe being presented with very quick ball.
I didn't think Price had a fantastic game, to be perfectly honest. No, but I think it's pretty difficult.
I don't think he was awful.
He's not the sort of scrum half you pick for a pack that's not going to be winning.
I read somewhere,
ball.
It was difficult. I read somewhere that, I can't remember what it was, but saying that Ali Price should not forget what his natural game is as well, which is pace, breaks, taking the game to the opposition. And it kind of seems like when he first burst on the scene, he could do that. And now
he's
trying to round his game a bit more, but I think he's missing that a bit. And granted, it's difficult to show that in that kind of game, but...
Yeah.
Speaking of bursting onto the scene, his first game for Scotland, he scored 2 tries in this game. He gave away 2 tries. Hugh Jones, not a fantastic showing at 13.
Well, so I actually don't... I don't think Hugh Jones actually had that bad a game. I think in attack, he was potentially our best, most potent weapon.
Sure.
And then in defence, I think, specifically the first try, he was definitely at fault.
Yeah.
Because he came in and he like planted his feet on the Jonathan Davis run.
Yeah, yeah.
And it basically meant that he tried to do an arms tackle on George North, which he just got completely brushed aside.
Not going to happen.
On the second try... It was quite an interesting sort of setup that Scotland have. So Lee Jones was in the 10 channel. And then McAnally was covering Moriarty. And then you had basically the back line out.
Sure.
And basically when Parks took the ball at first receiver, and he was already basically outside our second defender.
Yeah.
And so when Moriarty hit that line, Dunbar, for some reason, felt he had to come in.
Yeah.
And that basically left you with Anscombe coming around the back and Hugh Jones basically having to cover Anscombe and Jonathan Davis. And you'll know how it feels when you've got two people like that running towards you and you start basically going backwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Trying
and to be
make
fair
a
to Anscombe, he brings it right up to Jones and passes right on the game line. And so you're already walking backwards and then you're trying to cover two men, and then obviously Davis just pams you in the face, and you're already off balance. And it's actually an incredibly hard
piece
of defense. And I think if Dunbar hadn't got sucked in by Moriarty, and he shouldn't have been sucked in by Moriarty, he should have been covering Anscombe. They don't let that try in.
That's good analysis, mate.
That's very good analysis.
Very good.
The game,
it was like a kind of
game,
Times graphic or something.
The game line and Moriarty.
Are also excellent.
Yeah.
Moriarty and the game
line.
The
point is, Hugh Jones probably should have made that tackle, but it made much more likely he was going to miss it by Dunbar getting suckered in.
Yeah.
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 Because the thing is, if he doesn't cover Anscombe there, Anscombe goes dummies and goes through.
Yeah. There are still question marks over it. That's the one question mark over his game, I think, that like, since he's burst on the scene and been one of our better players, it has been defence.
Yeah.
It has been exposed. And whether that's his fault or it's, you know, a combination of, there is an issue there.
He's got shown up against England when we lost like the 60 pointer. I think against Ireland last year as well, Gary Ringrose did a very good job of nullifying Hugh Jones when he was going forward. I think it's just 13 is a ridiculously difficult place to defend. And it's just something.
Yeah, it's the hardest position to defend.
He's also initially played a lot of rugby at wing when he was in South Africa.
He played
as much rugby on the wing as he did at 13. And so automatically you're more of an attacking, going to be more of an attacking.
Oh, for sure.
13.
That's his strength.
That's his strength. So I think.
But I suppose, you know, having Townsend as a coach as well, he played a lot at 13.
And Townsend was a bit of a liability in defence. maybe
the actual tackle is not being great, but he's going to understand positioning, right?
Yes, that's fair. I felt so bad because I've been pammed off at 13 so many times.
You've never been put in the 13 channel.
Mate, I've been rocking 13 channel every day, mate.
You're a prop, weren't you?
Oh, come on. I will say that I did play every position for St Andrews.
Yeah.
In 1 to 15.
It's quite a good effort, that, isn't
all
it?
All over.
You played in the second row?
Played in the second row. I had got moved during a game, and I starred a hook of her the twos once.
Fair play.
One,
you know what you're on about.
One final point I wanted to pick up. Blair Kinghorn was given the kicking duties after Hastings missed that one touch.
Yeah, it's quite brutal.
First 30 seconds, or first minute, Hastings misses that touch.
Come
and it was horrific. He was going for too much, and he missed it. But Kinghorn's restarts are so good.
Oh.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh,
the height he gets of his restarts are unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it's the same with Stuart Hogg. Like, Stuart Hogg is the best kicker there. Like,
yeah.
Like, for touch and his he occasionally do a restart. And you're like, why haven't we been doing this the whole time?
Yeah.
Why is it Kinghorn not?
I guess it must be a positional thing. Maybe you don't want your 15s doing it, but then they can just drop back.
Drop back. Or you put a 10 there or something. You put the guy who's not kicking back at fullback.
Yeah.
I agree.
Hogg should kick to touch and take all restarts.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I don't, if the reason is because Finn has to be the main man, then, I mean, Finn's a child, so.
Exactly.
It's true, though.
No,
like.
But you're doing as you're told here, son.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
I thought Blake Kinghorn had relatively quiet game by his standards.
Made the most meters, but a lot of that was just running back into, he's the fullback.
Running into the gain line, yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was quiet. It's difficult when you're not getting a lot of go forward or creating stuff because he's, you know, you want him on the ball in the wide channels.
Yeah,
that wasn't really happening.
And then subs wise, George Horn specifically.
He looked good.
He looked real good.
He just looks like a that real spark at 60 minutes when people are beginning to tire.
What, do you think they might, even if Laidlaw starts, you keep Horn on the bench?
Yeah, possibly. You could say he's more of an impact than Price.
He maybe is now. I think you're probably right. That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
It was that vision to put that little kick through. Granted, it was a penalty shot to nothing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But it's the things that Ali Price was doing maybe a year and a half ago, like quick taps and just, you know, taking the game to the opposition and picking up tempo.
It'll be an interesting one. Let's talk about what we would change about Scotland when we come on to preview the Fiji match. But Alan, it's a quiz.
Oh, we're doing a quiz. Boom. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
I thought that was quite a decent link.
No, it was a good link. Apologies. Right, I've got three relatively average questions. All with multiple answers.
Good, good.
Rugby World Cup.
Yep.
So, in the 21st century, there is three teams that Scotland haven't played. So three teams in the top 15 in the world who Scotland haven't played in the Rugby World Cup in the 21st century.
In the 21st
century. So, out of the top 15 teams in the current world rankings, Scotland haven't played three of them in the Rugby World Cup. In the 21st century, who are those three teams? World rankings as of before this weekend, because things might have changed.
Have things changed? Oh God!
Can we go one for one?
I think I'm going to do really badly at this.
Yeah, this is really tough.
And because we're being nice, we'll let Dave start this one, and you can start the next one.
You're being nice.
Should we just go start with this question?
Yeah, Dave.
You're up. What you got?
The only word I've written down is Ireland.
Ireland is correct.
I also have Ireland.
What's your second one?
Italy.
No.
No, we've played them a couple times, I think.
When? Yeah, we've played Italy.
Which World Cup?
2003, maybe. I've got it marked that we've played Italy.
I'm sure we've played Italy in the World Cup.
We played them in 2007 in the group with New Zealand.
Yeah, we
and
did,
Portugal.
And we squeaked through that.
We squeaked through that game,
and then we almost squeaked through Argentina in the quarters.
Yeah, right.
So we've played Argentina.
Who you got?
I'm just guessing this now. Tonga.
Tonga's correct.
That was my other one as well. To be fair.
We've got one more.
And some more.
One more in the top. In the top 15 in the world that we've not played this century.
So the implication is that we played them in 99.
I actually don't think we did. But
have we ever played them in the World Cup?
That's a good question, mate.
That's why I've got no idea.
Wales.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a really good question.
I actually don't know if we have played Wales in the World Cup.
Possibly not.
I'll come back with a new quiz next week.
I imagine we've always been in that sort of second pool.
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Probably always got Wales in it.
Or Ireland.
Yeah. And no one really knows who played who in like the groups and quarterfinals in the 87 World Cup. So
I'm sure somebody does. I'm sure it's written down, but we're not going to go and find that out. Okay, so what were the scores there?
It was 2-1 to you, Dave.
Oh, very happy with
Wait.
That. Well, he got Tonga and Ireland as well.
So the draw, right?
Well, you got Wales.
Okay, so
We were going 1-for-1.
No, I got 2.
No, we were going 1-for-1. Dave got one right, you got one wrong. Dave got one right, then you got one right. It's 2-1 to Dave. This is my quiz.
Fine.
I'll take it.
In the 21st century, Scotland have played four teams twice in the Rugby World Cup. In the top 15 in the world.
Can I go first?
Yes.
Australia.
Australia is correct. 2003 and 2015.
South Africa?
South Africa is incorrect.
Ooh, only once. What, in 2015?
Only once in 2015.
We've missed them the other times. Fair enough.
That's really tough. Samoa?
Samoa is Incorrect. Played them once, only in 2015.
Yeah, I knew that.
Romania.
Romania is correct.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
2011 and 2007.
Yeah.
Played Romania.
So still one more.
So there is two more left on the table. You've each got two guesses, so just chuck them out.
Okay.
Come on. Give me something.
Fiji.
That is incorrect. Only played them in 03.
Yeah.
Played them in 03.
So that's one of your guesses gone.
Yeah.
Hanny, I thought this was you. You and me both had the 03 VHS highlights video.
Yeah, I know. That's a good clue. I actually had it on DVD, but don't get it.
Couldn't afford a DVD in the Allen household, I guess.
Early adopter over here.
Japan.
Japan is correct. And I've now just realized that there is five teams. Shit.
Oh, no.
So that's 03 in 2015. So there's still two left.
There's still two.
There's still two left.
Give us some clues for like the two tournaments.
Actually, that's a good shout if I can remember it. So the other one is 2003 and 2015. And the other one is 2007 and 2011. We lost to one team twice and we beat the other team twice.
Lost to one team twice.
I mean, literally just think about who we've lost to.
Argentina?
Yes. 07 knocked out in the quarters. 2011 we lost in the groups in the pool stages. Jim Hamilton missed the tackle.
Oh yeah, that was brutal, wasn't it?
2007 quarters.
So we lost, and then the other team we've beaten. Who are the shit teams in our pool at 15?
I can't remember who's in the pool.
Samoa, Japan.
Who was the other one?
USA.
USA. Boom. Oh, brilliant. No. And then we played them in 2003.
Yeah. Well,
there we go.
Matt got two right there. So he goes.
I won that one. Come on.
Should we just go with a draw there?
Let's just call that a draw.
Is that all the questions you got?
I've actually got one other one, but it doesn't feel that important. So.
Decider. Yeah, come on. Decider.
Okay. Who are the two Northern Hemisphere sides that Scotland have played in the Autumn Internationals since 2010?
Two Northern Hemisphere sides.
Excluding Wales, obviously.
Oh, right.
Georgia.
Correct.
And?
Since 2010.
Canada.
No, 08 against Canada at Pittodrie.
I don't know if this country's in the Northern Hemisphere.
Japan! So it sticks at a draw. So the final quiz question would be, what stadium in Scotland did we beat Georgia 43-16 in 2016?
McDermott Park.
No.
Oh,
because that's
Rugby Park.
Rugby Park! Yes!
Yeah!
Forgot it was in Killy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's a real epic quiz session.
Oh, it's great.
I'm really upset.
And I won.
That.
I'm absolutely delighted about that.
Well done, mate.
Well, fantastic news. Thank you very much. Okay. Scotland versus Fiji coming up at sold out Murrayfield. 10 in a row at Murrayfield sold out. Here we go against Fiji. What do we think is going to happen? Is this going to be another high-scoring fuck-up like Samoa last year?
It's a very, very strong possibility.
Extremely close.
I think it's almost certain.
Last year against Samoa, despite winning, was an epic fuck-up.
It was horrific.
It was so bad. Like, I think there's going to be so many points so easily.
I think there's going to be 80 points scored at Murrayfield this weekend.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I think it'll be like 41-42 or something like that.
Yeah.
Laidlaw.
See Scotland losing this.
Of course you can see Scotland losing.
Oh, no, come on. We're better than that now.
Yeah. There's part of me that's like, we want to have the... put a pack in place that is the best scrummaging and best line-out pack we could put out.
Yeah.
And just try and dominate those two.
Oh, yeah. And win the game like 22-8.
God, I'd love it if it was 22-8.
As if we're holding Fiji to 8 points.
We won't, but
if they have an off day, those teams can be hanging.
They can be terrible.
Like,
I would love like a Laidlaw, Russell, Hogg, just pinning them back, just disrupting
in the rain,
and just a really mature kind of.
But
there is no way.
Dave makes that's a good. Not gonna Dave makes a good point. That's you know,
it's just never going to.
That's
happen.
All we've ever wanted from Scotland.
That's why I think the pudding should start at 10.
Strauss comes in.
Yeah.
You have touched on my second question. Do we start our best team against Fiji? Do we bring in Hoggy? Do we bring in Laidlaw and Finn?
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Stick with. So bring in Maitland on the wing.
100%.
So we go absolute I think absolute full bore.
Yeah. Because I think like Wales was a chance to try some people out. Yeah. So you've had that opportunity.
Yeah.
So I think this is like a really important game. They need to win. They need to start, you know, getting back on the horse in terms of combos and stuff. So.
Yeah.
So what is that starting 15 then for you guys?
Should we start with the backs?
Yeah. Well, the backs pretty much. I've just kind of just said, I suppose.
I think you're right. Laidlaw, Russell, Dunbar, Jones, Maitland, Seymour, Hogg if fit, if not Kinghorn.
Yeah. Which is fine. You don't need to rush back Hogg.
He's maybe the one position where you just don't. I think everyone would be happy with Kinghorn starting that game and save Hogg for the South Africa game.
Exactly.
Maybe Hoggy on the bench, give him a 20-minute run out at the end.
I guess the thing is why. But what does Hogg achieve
in 20 minutes?
In 20 minutes, but also he doesn't cover a lot of positions, so
yeah, covers 10, mate.
Could play 10.
He does. Or
13.
Play his best Hogg position might be 10.
Well, 13. Played 13 for Glasgow before as well.
That's true.
And then in the pack, I am the biggest Rambo advocate around here, but
give the Fraser Brown a shot.
The impact that Fraser Brown had when he came on was massive. And that's not to say that I thought Rambo particularly had a bad game, but I thought Fraser Brown brought a little bit more, particularly in that carrying.
Yeah, I think if you want to have like someone who's slightly more abrasive and then you also bring in Grant Gilchrist as well, you're looking at like a pretty physical front five.
Grant Gilchrist. Or what about the testing at the new boy? Sam Skinner in there partnering with Johnny Gray?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him have a shot. Maybe on the bench?
I don't know how big Sam Skinner is. I want the biggest pack available. I want Gilchrist for sure.
Yeah. I also think Gilchrist had a bloody good game when he came on for Wales.
So I kind of think if you're going to have Sam Skinner, put him on maybe have him on the bench.
He can cover a wee bit.
Yeah.
Or supposedly.
Yeah.
And then what, back row?
I think Wilson and Watson will start.
I thought Matt Ferguson, again, had a pretty decent impact when he came on for Scotland against Wales.
Yeah, I just don't see Ferguson.
I would rather he played, but I don't see.
I just don't see him starting. I think it's annoying that Blade Thompson's out.
Yeah.
Because that just seems such a natural fit to put him in that back row.
Yeah.
I would be so surprised if Strauss even got back in the squad.
Well, considering he got dropped after the last Fiji game was when
be a great
lost.
Story though.
I mean, it would, but
redemption.
Yeah, I don't know if Townsend's going to give him that opportunity.
Yeah, what
about Richie? Would you take him out?
I thought it was good experience for him. I'm not quite convinced yet for him at that top level.
Rob Harley?
Nope.
No.
I would rather shift Wilson to six and bring in Matt Ferguson out.
I think it's more likely that they play Harley than do that, though.
Yeah, probably. It's
interesting. You got Adam Ash.
Just Maid? Called into the squad today.
Just called into the squad.
Yeah. No way.
I don't know. Like, quite got a lot of players, but no one that you would say is particularly international quality.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right, they're in. They step
exactly.
in.
Exactly. I mean, I know I would want, personally, I'd want Strauss, Watson, and Wilson, because at least you hope that Strauss can bring you that just solid power game.
Mm.
You're just worried that I know Ferguson's had a pretty good start to the season, but he's pretty wet around the ears.
Yeah,
and is putting him into mad cauldron with Fiji like the right way to go about it?
Could be
the mad cauldron
breaking of him.
Love the mad cauldron.
Moriarty's mad cauldron.
Okay. Fiji have got lots of extremely big names that do really impressive things in the top 14.
That's excellent analysis, mate. Spot on.
You done your research this morning?
I've done a little bit of research.
They've got some guys who can do things that no one in the Scotland team can do.
Yes.
Put it that way.
But in between all of those people, those sort of five or six absolute worldies, there's not much.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stereotypes around the team, but, you know, their front five is never particularly that strong.
Yeah.
You have some good, like, sort of tearaways at the in the back row, but...
I mean, Nakawara's probably going to start
in
the second row.
That's fair.
Bill Matt is probably going to start at eight.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's the terrifying bit.
Yeah.
When those guys get going. It depends on whether they get front foot ball and whether they're, like, up for it.
Yeah. You just need to tie them into a proper game, as we were saying at the top, a proper game of Scottish rugby, which is slow and attritional.
Yeah.
And Chris Patterson kicking goals. And then we'll be fine.
But it kind of goes against Fiji. You're probably the one team that we want to not have that style of game. I imagine against most of, especially the Six Nations team, we want to have it as loose as possible.
But we also have pretty average halfbacks.
Ben Vola Vola.
He's really average.
Matuelu's not in the squad, is he?
No, but they do have eight players from this Fijian Drua team that won the NRC.
They're too good.
I don't know if they'll be able to raise their game to this level, but if they get a chance, they are unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Entertainers. Just freaks. Just incredible skills.
I don't even know what the NRC is.
NRC.
So National Rugby Championship. It's like the level below the Super 15.
It's like the Australian Australia. Super 6.
In Australia.
Yeah, and this year.
Oh, and there's a Fijian team within that.
Fiji got put in, and they are, like, they play the best. They're my favourite team ever. Yeah. They are unbelievably the best rugby in the world.
They're a bit of a joke, though.
Yeah, of course they are. But they pump everyone. They won it this year. Like, they pump everyone just through doing ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's get highlights reel of them on Twitter or something like that.
No, you should actually look at it on YouTube.
It's genuinely sweet. It's
never heard of it. Australia's Super 6. Sounds good. I'm going to check that out.
I think Scotland should win this. There is scope to lose this. I'm potentially almost more worried about this game than I am Argentina. I feel like Scotland have kind of got Argentina.
I feel like it's kind of like when we play Australia. I feel like we are a bogey team for Argentina. In that, you know, that we sort of like trip, we eke out wins against Australia. We've kind of worked them out like Argentina. But whenever we play against Islander teams, I'm petrified. We've got
a lot of bogey teams.
We've got
most other teams.
But Wales are a definite bogey team for us.
And New Zealand as well.
New Zealand, famously.
Fiji and Samoa, like, you know, they are the banana skins that, you know, Ireland never lose to them, for example. But we love to pick up a little loss against them, you know, every 2 years or so.
Yeah. It's great. Great supporting Scottish rugby. Matt, what do you think is going to happen there?
I think it will be a high scoring game. And I think that Scotland will come through by 10 points.
Okay. Alan?
I think Scotland will win by 14 and it will be above 70 points total.
So 70 points total. I think it will be somewhere between over 80 points total scored.
Over 80 points?
I think Scotland are scoring 50.
So it's going to be like 50-30.
I think it's going to be 50-30. Exactly. I'm going to say exactly that.
That'd be sweet.
I wonder what odds I'll get on that. I'm going to check that out. That'll be great. 80 points scored total. All right. Well, we will see what goes on. We'll be back next week to talk about that. Should we have a quick chat about the Pro 14 on Friday night?
Yeah, very quick.
After we, all three of us predicted two pro team losses.
Yeah.
They got two bonus point wins. It was amazing, wasn't it?
Fair play to them. I think, as I was saying last week, Scarlett's having sent the same team away to the Kings, who I suppose just shows how bad the Kings are.
Yes.
Had pumped them. But Edinburgh looked really good.
Edinburgh looked really good.
I thought it was one of actually the best performances they put together this season, which, considering they're a complete scratch team, was impressive.
How much of a baller king do you think Cockerell gave them during the week? I know he was relatively, like, not calm, but he was very in the press.
Yeah.
He didn't really talk about it, but I imagine he's given them, like, an absolute shafting this week.
Like, careers on the line type stuff.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with Callum Hunter-Hill and Jamie Hodgson in the second row for Edinburgh.
What school did they go to? Ah, Stumo.
A very good school.
Jamie Hodgson. He's
Estonian's traitor.
He's Estonian's legend now.
You know what? I know we get abused for wanky private school chat. Sometimes it's probably justified.
Yeah, it's really. And as soon as I would say know, it's
almost
certainly
justified. Yeah.
Thankfully, this is towards the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
So people will turn
exactly,
it off.
Yeah. And Glasgow, 5 points on the road down at the Liberty Stadium against second in the league Ospreys.
That match just felt like a kick around in the park. it was all over the shop. And just like when Matawalu is like running away with the game,
getting
you kind of know there's
like
a certain style that's being played in. But
some really sweet tries, though.
Yeah,
the try
great
with
tries.
Nick Grigg going through the middle good. And then putting
straight into the Scotland squad in the back of that.
Do you think there is a foot difference between Grigg and Stafford McDowell?
Yes.
I think there might. I'm going to check it out.
Stafford McDowell
obviously
is really
not.
Good.
What's Grigg? 5'10"?
I thought it would be like 5'6".
5'6"? He's 5'10". So Stafford McDowell at 12 is 6'10".
Fair.
He was good, though.
They
Speaking
were good.
About him, Stafford McDowell's looked good this season.
Was it interesting with Stafford McDowell? Because it's like the whole thing around, obviously, Super 6 is people not being able to make that step up to the pro game. And he's looked off the bench against Munster and in this game like he is sort of pro 14 quality.
And if you look at the Edinburgh team as well, like Jamie Hodgson's been playing for Watsonians this whole season and didn't look out of place against the Scarlets. Like,
yeah.
It's an interesting one.
So we scrap the Super 6 then?
Definitely heading that way. Definitely heading that way.
I generally think odds of Super 6 not happening are 50%.
Interesting.
I think it will happen purely because Mark Dodson is really, really stubborn.
Yeah.
But the clubs are really stubborn
yeah,
as well.
It is.
Everyone's so stubborn. But yeah, I think especially that the back line for Glasgow, Frisbee looked pretty all right, which is good, obviously, after the sort of horror show against the Kings. Mm. Brandon Thompson always looks all right.
Coming in to like a scratch team, doing well.
The thing is, I don't think Brandon Thompson ever really looks out of place, but he just never seems to get the game time outside of these international windows, although he didn't mean his kick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that he completely
scuffed it.
Yeah. But no, I thought, and especially sort of back row, Ash looks really, really good.
Mm.
Cam Gibbons just doing his job.
Yeah.
And Tambalu was okay, although he looked like he was about to pass out after like 40 minutes.
I think he needs to work on his fitness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just players like DCH, Van der Merwe in those kind of games, so valuable. Like,
yes.
Just the cut above.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting
the
ball, exactly. He's going to do something.
And actually, when you look at that front three, Kebble, Turner, Ray.
It's very solid.
You're pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
In any game
Pro
14.
Yeah.
And now they got 3 week break.
3 week break.
Mm-hmm.
I did love that. Nick Frisby put up a post being like, so happy to get a 3 week break. I was like, you've not been doing anything.
Mate, he's been working 20 hours a day in Malcolm Group Logistics Depot.
He's become like a long distance trucker. He does like one of those 24 hour shifts like Siberia.
There's going to be some of those players like Nick Frisby, DTH, David Tamalua, Gibbons, that are going to pump out some terrible sponsored video content over the next 3 weeks for Glasgow.
Oh, yeah, they're the only ones around.
Yeah, like Sterling Chair stuff, like Malcolm Group Logistics, just because they've got nothing else to do and no one to play rugby with.
Yeah,
that is going to be great. Well, look forward to that. I suppose there's international rugby to watch as well as that.
Yes.
So we'll get through.
That's fair.
Which will be good. Thanks a lot for joining us, guys. Scotland versus Fiji on Saturday. So we will be back next week. Keep chatting to us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and get into that mailbag, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
See ya.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.